Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Donald Trump presented himself to America as the consummate businessman, the master of the art of the deal. But this week brought a barrage of Trump threats to close our border with Mexico. And then today, backing off, saying he'll give Mexico a one-year warning to cut the flow of drugs and migrants before he closes the border and slaps a tariff on cars built in Mexico. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here. Daniel, you say the hits keep on coming for the auto industry with all this whipsawing from the White House. In a nutshell, what would closing the border do to autos?
Oh, it essentially shut down the industry assembly lines within probably a week. You know, this president was supposed to be, and I thought early on, based on what I was seeing, the best friend that Detroit had had in the Oval Office in I don't know how long. This is somebody who understood manufacturing, who wanted to be more competitive, and that was all to the good. But I think the wheels started falling off the wagon fairly quickly. You may remember that after Charlottesville and the racial confrontation down there, business started to abandon Donald Trump. His advisory council abandoned him. It dissolved. Mary Barr at General Motors was, I think, somewhat very involved in that process. They did not want to be associated with that kind of thing. But then you started to see a lot of these trade policies, if you want to call them that. They struck me more as whims, and he was picking fights with China and then the EU and the Mexicans and the Canadians, and we went on and on and on and on and on. And more, the auto industry was caught in the middle of that vortex. And these are the same people that are clustered in the industrial Midwest in electorally very important states. And as a result, I think I'm having a hard time understanding the nexus between the political benefit that the president gets and the economic policies he's trying to achieve, but so far really hasn't done it.
And we see this all the time where the president will level a threat. I'm serious. I'm not playing games. And then you get, I'm thinking about it. And then there's the favorite, we'll see what happens. So that pot is always being stirred. How is this constant chaos hitting our businesses?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty, but on one hand, on the other hand, it's having a practical effect. General Motors and Ford have already said that the steel and aluminum tariffs have already cost them about $1 billion in profit a year because their prices have gone up. Business prizes stability, and as a CEO turned president, Trump should, in theory, understand that. But he was running essentially a small family business in Manhattan. He was not running a multi-billion dollar corporation spanning the globe, producing a very complex product with sources of inputs from all over the world. And it is a constantly changing and evolving process. You're bringing a lot of technology, a lot of raw materials in, and you're trying to make a product to meet your specifications, government regulation, customer preferences, and it all has to happen at the same time.
Yet even as executives are reaching for their antacids with all of this, the base loves it. You know, think of the turnout and the adoring throngs last week in Grand Rapids.
I think that's right, and I think that that's one of the calculations the president makes, which is if the base loves it, I'll be okay. Polling continually shows that base is somewhere around the 35 to 38% range. That's not enough to get you reelected. And my point about what his policies are and the impact his policies are having on the industrial Midwest is a lot of those same base people work in those industries. If you were to shut down assembly lines for any appreciable period of time, people don't get paid. There's a knock-on effect that the industry then has to work through as they go forward. Now, if it's just something that happens for a couple of days, is that going to change the way people vote in November of 2020? Probably not, but it might. It might also get people to look at some of these policies and say, what's the rationale here? And I think, unfortunately, sometimes the rationale is not very easy to defend. Final point I would make is the president does come out with these tweets, and I think we've seen this recently with the threat to close the Mexican border. His administration and people on his economic team are freaking out about this because they know the impact and how quickly it could turn and sour. And you've got an economy that has, after we've gotten through the federal government shutdown, has really started to get its legs again. The markets are doing much better. People are going to be opening their 401k statements for the first quarter and say, you know, all that carnage in December, we've earned a lot of that back. Now we're on the way going forward. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the only thing that people vote on or the only thing that they make decisions on, but I think it's fair to say that it's one of them.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.